CliffCentral.com.
So much to get into this morning. It's just after 7 o'clock, CliffCentral.com. The 4th of November, busy Monday morning. Where do we begin? Sure.
Can we talk about the photo that you sent us of Boris Johnson's tweet?
Okay. Yeah, because we're still talking rugby, and in case you missed the first hour of the show this morning, we've just pretty much all downloaded our experience of Saturday, and I think there's very few people who paid no attention at all, who absolutely hated it, because the rest of us were swept up in all the craziness of Saturday, and it spilled over into Sunday too for most people. So yeah, just explain what the picture is. It's very odd.
So it's actually come out that everyone's weirded out by this photo. There's just so many weird things about this photo that...
It's a picture that Boris Johnson himself put out after watching the rugby.
Yeah. So it's him in his living room.
Yes.
He's got this enormous TV.
teetering
on something that looks like half a Dolly Varden. Or like a table
like a little round table.
With a
frilly
tablecloth and checks. He's got his dog, which he's clutching a little bit too tightly on his lap.
There's just a lot going on there.
Everyone was very upset because he's wearing his England rugby top over his collared shirt.
Yeah, but that's very Boris,
Everyone's like, no, you could have at least put in a bit more effort.
Yeah.
Also, his tweet said, come on England, # England versus RSA Rugby World Cup final. And yet, the picture of the screen was already when the game was over. It was already 12:23.
So people are discovering more and more that Boris is disconnected from reality, really? You don't say.
Yeah. So like this one tweet in reply wraps it all up. Because everyone has a humongous TV teetering on a tiny tablecloth coffee table with a chair pointing in the wrong direction, pretending to watch the match on with a rugby top over their normal clothes. And someone says, why is the TV stand dressed as Heidi?
Oh, wow.
With a zoom in on this frilly tablecloth.
That's hilarious.
And someone else says, did your technology lessons not teach you about not putting a TV in front of a bookshelf? Because it's a fire hazard as well. You know?
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Dodgiest TV setup I've ever seen. That's it, Boris. Just stick the rugby shirt over your normal shirt and no one will notice. And hold on to that dog for dear life. And don't sit on a chair. That's so establishment. Perfect.
Very good. All right. Very good.
Oh, gosh.
Did you see the tweet where they said, we can't even get out of Europe, but we managed to exit the World Cup really quickly?
Yeah. South Africans brought about Brexit. Yeah, I saw that one as well.
It's all happening. It's all happening.
Very good. All right, what's going on?
Rightfully smug, though.
What's going on in the news besides that? What do we need to know about this morning?
Well, Leanne, I think you might want to just cover your ears in this story for now. We've heard about the Puza face.
Mm-hmm.
But now, according to science, there's the smoker's face.
Oh. What does this mean?
And excuse Leanne, the smoker's face just proves that people are getting uglier and uglier. The smoker's face...
It plays havoc with your skin, smoking.
Yeah. Well, it was a term first used back in the 1980s, but now because of the rise of cigarette smokers, and actually...
Are there more cigarette smokers now?
Yeah, if you crunch the numbers, people are ditching the likes of e-cigarettes and vaping use and going back to typical tobacco cigarettes.
Oh, really?
It just shows you what a horrible addiction it is.
But it also shows you how useless all this anti-tobacco legislation's benefits done absolutely nothing to turn that trend around. Can people just stop with this nonsense that regulating things and controlling them and trying to stop and ban and kill advertising does nothing?
According to the numbers back in 2010 to 2018, smoking has increased by 120%.
Oh, my word.
This is according to the report released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
No, I think that... All that should really be done is that people should be deterred from smoking before they start. Once you've started, it's more addictive than heroin.
Yeah, they say that.
And once you've started, I don't know, that crowd's fallen by the wayside.
How would you suggest people get deterred from smoking?
And at what age?
Yeah.
From very young. Show them, I mean, I started playing around with cigarettes from the age of 12.
Goodness.
Showing them pictures of what it can do to you and just going in quite harsh.
My sister just gave up, 6 weeks ago, and she hasn't touched a cigarette in 6 weeks.
She went
I've managed
turkey.
To give up yeah. twice for 10 months at a time. And then you kind of think, oh, I'm strong enough to just have a drag.
But where do we take it? Because we've tried to shame people. We've tried to go, it's bad for your health. It's bad for your kids.
Just like, leave people alone.
Let them be.
I don't know why everyone wants to save everyone else's life. We all die eventually. All right? Somebody just get it into your thick skull that you're not going to last forever. And if people decide to put something in their mouth that's probably bad for them and smoke it into their lungs, which is probably bad for them, that's their decision. You're
it's
not going
decision,
to.
Their decision, but also they a lot. I bet you a lot of smokers wish they didn't smoke.
They probably do, but what business is it of yours to insert yourself into their life? Mm. This is why I say government has no business being involved in what people are doing in their private time. Let them do whatever they want to their body. You know, I love the way people who drink nonstop have a problem with smokers, and I love the way smokers tell drinkers, "Oh, you've got a bad habit." They all just realize that. There are people, very rare people in this world who have no addictions whatsoever. Lucky them.
No, but we all have our thing.
Our vices.
Yeah.
You think everyone does?
I think everyone does.
I think there are people
who don't.
Either
that or you're Amish.
I think there are people who don't. No, no.
And that's your thing as well. And good shaming thing. Others.
Funny thing about people who don't have any addiction or certainly don't profess to have any, they mostly just quietly get on with their life too and don't involve everyone else. They don't go around telling all the smokers and drinkers and drug takers how healthy they are, you know, and strut around as if they're important and they're better than you.
Mm. So before you go off that, at what age does smokers' face affect people mostly? Because people need to know the
smokers' so face.
As early as your late 20s. Ooh,
that is brutal.
So there are the obvious signs that most of us know, like the yellowing of the teeth, more cavities, and an increased risk of losing your teeth because of smoking. I didn't know that. But smoking also makes your skin dry and sallow and more wrinkled due to a loss of elasticity caused by smoke. So as early as your late 20s, you can start and can develop telltale wrinkles around your mouth. Obviously, because of the puckering. And depending on when you start smoking, these symptoms can set in from your 20s.
Well, I'm in my 40s and I don't have many wrinkles.
Yeah, actually.
Good for you.
And I don't have that smoker's...
You don't even have, like, laugh lines much.
No, you don't have the smoker's face.
Or crow's feet.
So it just depends on... And I mean, other people smoke for 10 years and they look terrible.
Well, here's Keith who says, forget smoker's face. Have you seen smoker's tits?
What?
What?
There was this girl I knew in high school who turned into a chain smoker after school. She used to have the most beautiful boobs and now her tits sag below her navel.
It's got nothing to do with smoking.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch.
Smoking is amazingly cool. Celebrating, light up. Feeling sad, light up. Amazing. Smooth and refreshing. Lighting up a Marlboro is the ultimate act of virtue. That's from Sean. All right. Yeah, great. Suppose if you can't advertise, you can at least tell the story. Leanne, even the Amish furiously masturbate in private. Everyone has a vice. That's Carl.
I do you think not to... sound judgmental, but I think smoking is one of those addictions that really takes over your whole life. I was with my sister and cousin on Saturday and I was there very, very early. I was like there at their place at like 6 a.m. And was still a little chilly at that time. And regardless, my sister was on the balcony and puffing away. And I'm thinking, you've just woken up and this is what you're doing already. I was in a friend's car last weekend. And you know those tiny, tiny, tiny pod plants that you get?
Yes.
It's like one of those like novelty cactus or cacti or whatever. They have emptied two of those tiny pod plants out to sit in their car in the cup holders. And that's where they smoke and they empty. They put out their cigarettes like an ashtray. It's one of those all-consuming
addictions. Yeah, it does. Like, if you're the only smoker, it's an issue. If you go to a client meeting or something and it runs into 2 hours, you're dying.
Oh, wow.
So you've got to try and either have a smoker buddy or say to them, can we just have a break?
Oh, not to rub salt into this wound, but like the show must be hard then because
it's
like,
huge. No, I mean,
can we wrap it up?
Why do you think I run to my car so quickly afterwards?
Bye, guys.
Yeah, and can't wait to start smoking that cigarette. You know, it's weird. I think that people who are who, you know, some people live to smoke and yeah. they live to drink and they live to do these things. Just it's a release for some people.
And also there are different levels of it.
Sure there are. I don't make any judgments on it. I don't know what it's like to be addicted to cigarettes. I've never been a smoker, so I can't speak about it. And I certainly don't go around telling smokers I'm better than them.
You did that once to your mom, and she said she threatened to burn you.
I'll put a cigarette in your eye. When I was seven
in
or eight.
In your eye.
She said, I'll put this cigarette out in your eye if you tell me what to do ever again. And she probably meant it.
Shame. When
I learned a lesson.
When I was smoking in high school, I never smoked at school. But I had a pack of Benny and Henny, we call them, Benson and Hedges, cigarettes in my bathroom in this like little encased makeup bag thing.
Oh.
And my brother, who was like 8 at the time, just was trying to protect my health because he'd heard it was bad. I opened up this box the one day and they were all cut in half.
Oh.
Which I thought was actually quite sweet. Shame. He was trying to protect me.
But you weren't thrilled, were you?
No, I was very upset.
All right, well, here we go. This is exactly the point I was trying to make. Vincent says, I do both drinking excessively and smoking anything smokable, including the happy plant. Nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. Yeah. Sorry. That's how it works.
And not even hearing about smoker's face.
No, and
not
smoker's face sounds horrible.
It does.
It really does sound terrible. And by the way...
Losing your teeth...
Nicotine does destroy elastin in connective tissue, so what Sia is saying is not wrong. And it can have a very profound effect on things that you don't even realize. Like a lot of people complain that smoking ruins their sex life.
Well, it's a yay or nay for relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I wasn't smoking, I could not be around smokers. So, you know.
I was going to say, as a judgmental bachelor myself, girls that smoke, I'm just like,
yeah,
not interested.
It's a no-go.
If you were dead or alive, it's the same thing to me right now.
Really?
Oh, no. It's smoking, like that. Oh, you're dead to me.
When I was not smoking.
So Tinder's happy about it. You're going to be single if you smoke.
When I was not smoking, I couldn't be near anyone who was smoking. It was so bad.
Oh, no.
So, hang on. You're also nodding your head.
Yeah, dude, smoker chicks are a big no-go. I don't care how pretty you are, man. You got a cigarette on your lips. Like, you just a turn off.
Wow, Gugu and Bolelo this morning, very anti the smoking community.
Oh, I had a girlfriend's a strong term. Somebody I shared familiar relations with, but she was extremely
in a situationship.
She was
a situationship.
She was way out of my league, so I stayed with her for that. It was just great that she'd stay near me, but she smoked, and I'd have to cry in the fetal position every now and then, thinking of what I was doing. She was like making out with her. It was just like going to hell and back every time. Mm. Oh,
but then it's like ashtray sort of
horrible.
Yeah. Oh no, just like do you know what death would taste like that every time?
Oh,
yeah. No, it was. But
it's pretty horrible. It's a horrible description.
But then she was shapely.
If you're wondering who Bolelo is, we thought we'd get him in to hang with us this morning. We met him properly last week, and we were talking about sport. And we thought, well, you know what? People complain. We had the Rugby World Cup final this weekend, and South Africa won. And we thought we've got to bring someone in who can actually speak with a little bit of authority on this. So we decided we'd get him in. In the meantime, your comments, calls, your thoughts, 0797482090. And let's hear what else is going on in the news.
Oh, this little girl in Zimbabwe, 11 years old, wrestled a crocodile to save her friend.
Yes.
Wow.
She actually got hold of this crocodile and gouged its eyes out with her fingers to save her 9-year-old friend.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable. Rebecca Munkombwe.
Now she should be addressing the UN.
That's...
She should be standing up in front of the UN saying, all right, let me tell you about bravery, all right?
What?
She heard screams of help while swimming in a stream with her friends. She says that she saw her friend Latoya Mwani struggling to stay above the surface and being pulled away.
Wow.
That is
So she jumped into the water and realized a crocodile was pulling her friend in.
Huh.
She mounted the crocodile and started gouging its eyes out until it loosened its grip on her friend.
Good heavens, that is amazing.
She then pulled her friend to the bank where the other children pulled them both to safety. The crocodile didn't do anything, it just left with its eyes out.
Good. Crocodile learnt its lesson. How's that, huh? Isn't that insane?
That is something.
That's quite something, yeah.
And the 9-year-old had minor injuries. No broken bones even.
That's unbelievable. Because usually when a crocodile has you in the water, it's death roll time and you're done.
Yeah.
And especially little girls like this. I mean, she has to be extremely strong to have been able to pull that off. Good for her. Whew. Stay out of the water, kids.
In another story, a massive elephant was found dead on top of a squished crocodile.
What?
The elephant died as well.
How'd that happen?
It was obviously a fight between an elephant and a crocodile.
Yeah.
And it ended badly with both of them dying.
How does the elephant die?
What do you mean?
It takes its last breath.
Yeah, but I mean, from a crocodile bite, I mean, it's like, how do you get to the neck of an elephant as a crocodile?
You know how you eat an elephant?
Yeah.
One bite at a time.
And this is exactly what happened. The crocodile got him on the trunk and started getting more and more of his trunk.
And then some of
his face, and the elephant died. Died and fell on top of the crocodile and killed the croc.
Oh, not a good weekend for crocs.
Yeah, if you were a crocodile, the crocodile newspapers this weekend are probably they have a black front page.
Yosh.
Worst week in crocodile history.
Tragic.
It is. It's an epidemic.
Sheesh.
Yeah, that's what we should be investigating.
Okay, Mariah Carey is in the news. We need to refer to this. And it's part of us getting ready for Christmas, which is just around the corner. Everybody knows that Mariah Carey makes most of her money this month and next month. Every year, she's got guaranteed income. This woman is a genius. I don't care whether you like her or not. We've often joked about and laughed about Mariah Carey and what a ridiculous person she is. But my God, when Christmas rolls round, she just watches those cash registers ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-ting-ting-a-ling-a-ling with her song, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Because
she had the whole album,
but this is the song that makes her way more money. Don't even worry about what everyone else is doing. You think about Ed Sheeran writing hit songs every other week. You think about all these other singers who are doing really well. Nothing compared to Mariah. Nothing. Tell me what this video is, Sia.
So she put this up on the 1st of November to just rub it in everyone's face.
Is it her in the beginning?
Yes.
Because she's almost unrecognizable.
So that was her Halloween costume. If you go into her Twitter account at Mariah Carey, you'll see the video. So she was... the video starts off as her dressed up in her Halloween outfit. And she goes to sleep on the 31st of October. And just at midnight,
See her phone.
Yeah, her clock changes, and then she gets a call from Santa. She picks it up, and then she says, "Oh, it's time."
Listen to this. She's falling asleep on Halloween, right?
She looks like she's dressed as Tina Turner or something.
I think she was, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
She's sleeping.
And then she wakes up. And she.
Santa! It's time.
Mariah Carey.
She's counting those pennies.
According to a Nielsen report, this was still back in 2016, All I Want for Christmas was the only song to make the top 5 holiday songs for radio airplay, streaming services, and song purchases. Mm-hmm. Last year, 2018, Nielsen found that total digital streaming of audio and video for the song clocked in at just under 229 million.
No, come on.
While digital
one
sales...
song that's how old now?
It's 25 years this year. It's 25 years old this year. While digital sales of the song were 100,000 and radio airplay checked in at over 42,000, that's in 2018 alone. The multi-platinum song consistently tops the Billboard Holiday Hot 100 and made history earlier this year when it hit number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100, becoming the first holiday song in 60 years to break the top 5 and the second ever holiday song to chart that high.
Fantastic. Good for Mariah.
Mariah doesn't have to work another day in her life.
Are we going to play that song this year, Gareth? Because I know it just pops up in the system.
It happens. It comes out whether we like it or not. We've got a system here that is controlled by demons from hell.
Yeah.
And they actually just program the music themselves. We have no say on it. So sometimes that song will pop up even in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
It has a way of just making itself announced, so it happens.
Do you think she's like the last proper diva left? Like, she's just too good for everyone, which I love about her.
Yeah, yeah. She's over the top. She
That's
is
excellent. She's and old.
Completely. Yeah, but she. But you know what?
Yeah.
She still looks good.
Yeah, she does.
And that song is still a hit, and yeah. people love it. It makes people feel good, and it makes people spend for Christmas.
Gareth, isn't it refreshing to see some genuine sanctimony? Just living it out. She knows she's better than everyone.
Yes, no, she does.
And I love that.
Yeah, she's full
she's
of herself.
She's living her best life, as you young
she's
kids say.
Full of herself.
She is full of herself. It's one of the reasons we love her.
I do.
All right. Very good. Now, it's time to welcome our guest for the morning, and we're going to get talking to him. Patrizio Buone is here. He is an Italian singing sensation, known for his unique voice and energetic performances. He'll be bringing that for one night only to the Sun Arena at Times Square in Pretoria. Having already captivated thousands during his first few visits to South Africa, people have been eagerly awaiting his return. He is here with us this morning. How are you, Patrizio? You good?
Good morning, and good morning to everybody.
Nice to have you back in South Africa. You good?
Well, listen, first of all, are we on air?
What's up? Yes, yeah, we're on. We're on.
Wow.
What's
going on? Wow.
We're on. Well,
first of all, congratulations to the rugby. I think it's a
Thank
great thing.
You.
It's,
yeah.
it's,
Very nice.
It's what everybody says to win the brownie points to come over friendly, but I really mean it. I'm always a fan of people that win against England.
Oh,
that's the first thing.
Good.
I don't have a problem with the English, but it's just generally speaking, I loved it, and it puts your country also closer and the people together.
The English are probably the only nation in the world who really are good at losing.
Well, I thought that I'm tough. Well, here we go. Last time we had an interview was you were wearing a South African jersey.
Oh,
was
really?
I?
Yes, sir. We have a photo. Okay. Anyway, congratulations to the radio station. Looks awesome.
Thank you, man.
It looks fantastic.
It's very good to see you again. And listen, people get very excited when you come out here because you do something that nobody else is doing. You've got this great voice. You sing this mix of material, which is really cool. What is it about South Africa that keeps pulling you back?
Well, it's the people that want to hear me, want to see me, people like you that want to invite me to the radio station to talk about it. Maybe I always said I'd rather be hated for who I am than being loved for who I'm not.
Right.
I'm not fake, but learning that, for example, I'm learning so much now about social media.
Hmm.
And I just did a live post on Instagram, and it was my first ever. I don't do Instagram at all. I've got zero. I mean, I follow nobody, but I have to get into this. And I got naturally 8,000 followers, which is nothing, because people have, well, you've got 100,000, and I have to learn to get into social media. I have to literally change my mentality, so I have to post also pictures about where I live. I've seen your pictures have been in Cinque Terre and Livorno and all these things.
I was
and in New York
in Italy. It was amazing. So your country, you're half Austrian, half Italian.
I'm actually 100% Italian. I was Neapolitan. I'm from the south of Italy, but I was born in Vienna. So ethnically,
it was my first trip to Italy this year.
Was it? Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely.
It's stunning. It's a beautiful country.
My God.
It's just for visiting holidays. It's beautiful. When it comes to opportunity and work, it's not
it's
a country
that.
So I consider myself Austrian when it comes to the
business
discipline
savvy,
and the business. I'm Central European. And South Africa reminds me pretty much of Austria meets South Africa, because certain things are very well organized, but then the next moment it's a mess.
Yeah,
and
I know what you
between
mean.
Naples and Vienna, I feel very, very good here. I feel very, very good here.
Yeah, you're comfortable. You're at home. So what's the show? And tell us where people what people can expect. It's on the 6th of November, so it's happening in
people
2 days
should
time.
Never expect anything. But for those who know my music, they can expect all the hits, all the cheesy romantic love songs and all the fun songs that I'm known for.
People
so I'm
love
gonna
that
sing,
stuff.
They love that. I mean, it's never been easy to be cheesy, and I'm happy to take the title for being the ambassador of that. And I'm going to sing all the hits, all the songs.
Yeah, but there's something special. You're recording a live DVD that night as well.
That's right.
What's going on with you, Leanne? Jesus. Leanne's technology is just ruining my show this
week. Yes.
What's going on with you?
And in the second part of the song, the second part of the show, I will be singing some of my Christmas. I just recorded a Christmas album, so some of it. And we're recording a TV special that will be aired in Australia on SBS and America PBS. And I chose South Africa for many reasons. First of all, I've got a big following here. I do also in other countries, but South Africa is very multicultural. So you've got the Indian audience, black audience, Afrikaans audience, the Italians, the Greeks, the Portuguese. So it's pretty much the United States here of South Africa. I love it. And you can do for some amount of money, you can do much more. So, and I want to promote South Africa. I am sick of just talking about Italy, about Austria, about how great America is, while in Las Vegas, people, all you can see is Cirque du Soleil and hear some DJ, while here in South Africa, I've got really good artists. You've got really good bands, orchestras.
Thank you for that.
And I want to work with these people. I love it.
Well, we do have great musicians, but you mentioned just now when you were talking about yourself that you're Central European. I noticed that you speak, let me just go through these. You speak Neapolitan, which is a different dialect of Italian. You
That's
speak
right.
Italian, German, French, English, Spanish, and Polish.
That's right. And people still don't understand what I'm
Polish.
Talking about. I studied Polish because I was 6 years with a Polish girl when from the age of 17 plus six.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll figure that out. My maths is horrible. And my brother-in-law is Polish. In the beginning, I didn't bother learning any Polish.
It's a
but
hard
then later,
language.
When I discovered something called vodka, I learned Polish very, very quickly. And
it makes it smoother.
I'm fluent in vodka now.
That's excellent.
It's like liquid.
It's amazing because that's so different. You know, all the other languages you can kind of understand, and they're all related in some way.
I first Afrikaans, biki. Miss you elke dag, biki me.
There we go. You also performed at one or two Afrikaans shows, like Classics is Groot. You did that in 2016, right?
I was invited. It was a shock because I was like, what do you want me to do there? Well, South Africa loves you, and we want you to perform. So I was the only international act singing there, and it's something that you cannot buy. I'm very happy that people such as the Koleskis, Arno Koleski, and many South African singers, they respect me.
Very nice people, those.
They are, and they're real music people.
And very successful people, too, in a market which everybody assumed was small. These guys have carved out a niche. They've got tremendously successful shows. They put together amazing artists in collaboration.
Said by a man who was a judge.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Judged. And you know, when he says something, it actually makes sense, you know?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right. Okay, so you're back here. You got any time off? Are you going to be able to do a little bit of visiting and chilling?
No, well, it's been 13 years that I come to South Africa, so I've visited
many times.
All. No, there's always new things that this guy just said outside that I might actually think of buying a property here.
Oh.
And I'm in love with Pretoria. I absolutely love it.
It's a beautiful city.
All those years, I stayed at this beautiful hotels, the Monte Casinos and Four Ways and whatnot, and then amazing. But Pretoria, it's obviously the capital, but it's so stunning. It's beautiful. The food is great.
It's especially pretty now. We've got a whole bunch of blooming jacaranda trees all over the place.
They're finishing off now.
So here's the thing, and you could appreciate this as a European man, an Italian man, like Pretoria's got a little bit of culture as well. It's got lovely restaurants, got good music, it's got quite an artistic community.
I went to visit the Trekker Monument, is it called?
Trekker Monument.
I was there many years ago. I love it. I know for the 16th of December.
I guess that's the big day there.
The light is there. I think it's really... People have done that with brain and with heart.
Yeah.
It's stunning. It's a stunning place. I love the history. I was reading just about where the name Pretoria comes from Pretorius. I love history. That's why I love so much about Europe. But when I sometimes just want a little bit more exotic, to be in an exotic place, I love South Africa. I love South Africa.
All right, now give us some tips, because a lot of people just spent the weekend getting drunk with the rugby, but you know, there's probably a lot we can learn about romance and about language and about music, that South Africans are quite coarse. We don't tend to have that easy flow of romance that Italians do, for example. Give us some tips.
Well, the tip is that South Africans or Australians spend a lot of time in the gym, which is great. It's all about the sports. And, you know, I should be spending more time in the gym. But for us, the romance means spend more time with your family. Go a little bit more. Don't be so superficial about dating somebody.
Right.
Just getting drunk or just eating. Just don't just talk, but say something. The deepness, the depth of talking, you know what I mean? Just
Connect properly.
Don't be so superficial. You know, it's like, how I am, all right, how are you? And really, you had a shit day, but you don't admit it. And that's maybe America have projected that, that you go in a shop and the people go like, how are you? I'm fine, but you really had a terrible day. So you're
dying inside.
In Europe, we say, so who handed it? Said, okay, well, lekker. Or you say, you know, I kind of had a bad day. And you can talk about it. The same about dating. You know,
you're saying don't be such superficial people.
And South African men, no matter which culture in South Africa, tend to bottle everything up. They're not very open about things from the beginning.
And not emotional.
I heard, since this is a very open-minded radio station,
you could say anything you want.
I met a lot of women that say, you know, my husband, when I was dating him, he was very open-minded sexually, and we had a lot of fun. The moment I married,
became boring.
Boring. It's like being with my father. That doesn't happen. There is no oral sex anal sex or whatever sex you want.
How dare they? Yeah, correct. They should keep an open mind. Right. Now, let me
sex
ask you.
Is like salt.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Sex is very important because if life is just convivenza, that means living together, then I might just, you know, live with my mother, continue living with my mother. But sex, what it keeps the drive in the relationship. So many men, especially Afrikaans men, think that once they're married, this is my wife.
Yeah, no, and it becomes a standard thing. It becomes very ordinary.
And that's where the love slowly dies. But Afrikaans ladies are kind of...
They want some extra.
Shy to stand up and say, you know, I want that.
You need that salt. Sprinkle it on.
And that's part of romance. You see, Italian people are very dramatic. The opera comes from Italy, right?
Sure.
Shouting, offending. You are beep, you are beep, you are that, you are that. Yeah. And next time, we're making love.
Yes.
It's crazy. I married a Sicilian woman, and we're fighting once a week for sure. It's like the Godfather
Sicilian,
movie.
A Sicilian woman, you take your life in your hands.
Yeah, it's fire. I burn
myself
all the time.
If you upset her family, I mean, they could kill you.
Yeah, but they think that I could kill them, so we're scared of each other.
Yes, because
I'm Neapolitan.
Yeah, of course.
Just the right amount of fear. That's how you stay together.
There's good amounts of
but that's
fear
the passion.
And love.
When there is a passion, it's not superficial anymore. And there's no need for me to go around and beat around the bush, you know, and lie about it. It's just we are very straightforward.
Do you have a big entourage that you have to take with you?
Family entourage now, yes. When you marry a Sicilian woman, then you have a big entourage.
Does she come with you?
No, we had just a baby. I became a papa.
Congratulations.
2.5 months.
Congrats.
Very happy. And
what's the baby's name?
It's Alina Josephine Buanne.
Very nice.
And this is... out of this world. I never thought that I'm gonna actually have all that, you know, because for me it was about success, about touring, about conquering the people out there, and then eventually I just thought, wow, you know, I come home and I don't even have a dog or a cat that welcomes me, and I wanted it. So I married one of my best friends, a girl that I knew for many, many years, and I'm really the happiest man. And this made me record finally the Christmas album, because people ask me for years, when are you going to record the Christmas album? Probably when I'm going to get married and have a child. And it's different when you go to the studio and sing lyrics that you can relate to, like, I'll be home for Christmas, you can come. You know, that makes sense now. Rather than just go in and
you see her very emotional.
Oh, my God.
That's beautiful. That is so, that's touching. It's magnificent. See, you
it's
have,
real. That's yes, why it Seb, touches you. You have, people will never remember what you said or what you heard, but how you made them feel. So you got to be real.
Maya Angelou said that.
No, but you got to be real. It doesn't matter. You guys out there, you think that I'm such a softie. It's okay to be soft. It's okay to be real. It's okay. I think that's why a lot of guys go to the gym, overdo it, because it's very protective, because inside they're actually soft.
Weak, yes, I agree with you.
So show
they're projecting
being
this,
soft is okay. It's real, okay? Be protective of yourself, but be real. That's all I have to say.
So there's a lot of good advice here this morning. I mean, let's just recap for a second. So first of all, you now have a daughter.
Yes.
You're now a father, so you're going to be singing with so much more emotion when we come to see your show.
Yes.
You also have, you've got good advice for married couples. Keep up the oral and anal sex.
Because sex is like salt.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. Keep up that interesting stuff. You must be real. Don't be superficial. get into the serious conversations,
yeah.
even if sometimes it's that you're not having a good time or that you're sad or that you're miserable or whatever.
Yeah.
Be honest with each other. This is good relationship advice.
Mm.
And then learn to speak as many languages as you can. And if you can't speak the language, drink with those people and you'll learn the language.
Live in brief. You only have one chance to live this life.
This is fantastic.
So don't hide behind all of that. And this is what is called dolce vita, the sweet life that we know that Italians are known for. And rich is not who has more. Rich is who needs less. But
there we go.
Live it. Live the life. Live the intensity of life.
Listen, this is a philosophy.
Wise men say, right? Only fools rush in, for I can't help falling in love with you. It's too early for the high note.
So, do you have a routine? Because your voice is, it's a very full, very beautiful voice. Do you ever worry that something might happen and you might not have your voice? You might lose it.
Actually, I always worry.
Are you insured?
I'm not.
Yeah.
Now you made me think about this. I really should, no? Like, say Jennifer Lopez hers have bum insured.
Yes, of course.
Or some soccer players have their legs.
Yeah,
probably. But I always said I'm gonna sing as long as people wanna hear me. And being worried means that I take my life serious.
So for example, do you have a routine that keeps your throat in check? Do you like gargle with honey and lemon and stuff like that? Do you have any special things that you do to
only,
keep your voice in top
only
shape?
Only when I have a sore throat.
Okay.
I do like a ginger tea.
Yes,
with lemon. Good. That's very good. It opens up. And when you have a... Here is very dry in South Africa, so I get always dry throat. So I drink a lot of water. But yesterday I was drinking a lot of wine,
mm-hmm.
and I have a terrible headache, but you don't see that on radio. It's okay. That's maybe the reason why I talk so much. Your wine makes me talk, but it helps for radio not to
very
talk a lot.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you do, we also discovered you might be buying property here at some
point.
Yes. That's
any
very
suggestions?
And
where?
Why not? Because it just seems like mm-hmm. quite common with overseas players in the property market that they would immediately gravitate towards Cape Town. And you're eyeing out Pretoria. It's very interesting.
Because I would meet there the people that I want to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Pretoria or some other places in South Africa is mm-hmm. like untouched.
It's a destination point. It's not. Yeah. No one's traveling through it.
Yeah, and I think because Cape Town is so popular and it's stunning, it's probably the most. It's probably an attention. You've got this now on air. It's probably the most beautiful place in the world.
Wow! Sure.
It's probably the most. Wow. I mean, where else you have another Tafelberg, and the Lion's Head? Where do you have it? It's only in South Africa. By the way, my wife's grandfather was a prisoner of war, and he used to write letters to his wife, and he was in Cape Town, and he always described how beautiful it is.
Oh, wow. Wow!
And it's stunning. But I think. You know, it's. I don't judge the book by its cover. Okay, I go maybe for a weekend to South Africa, to Cape Town, but the family oriented lifestyle. It's I think more Pretoria.
Yeah.
So, Patrizio, now we've got so many visits to South Africa under the belt. Have you made real friends here? Are there people that you see every time you come out here?
Yes.
And that are people that you want to spend time with outside of work?
Yes. The friends that I made are, for example, the security guys.
Yeah.
They are the funniest people when they invited me to do a braai or to, you know, like the food.
That's
you get
quite
to know
cool.
the people
yes.
through the families, through the food. And I like to spend time with them a lot.
Do you have the same people every time that you come out?
Most of them, yeah. Some of them, for example, got other jobs, left the country to pick up mines. Like those bombs, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so they work in these guys are tough people.
Yeah,
they work
yeah.
in some pretty harsh environments.
So those guys, and I actually don't know about one guy, never heard from him. I hope he's okay.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I you see, when you are outside, far away from home and far away from your family, you kind of need to create a family outside, the family you built. And you see, blood makes you related. But loyalty makes you family. And I made a lot of great family through the team. It's very hurtful when the record industry has changed. There used to be the Universal Musics and the record companies.
They would usually organize a lot of this now. The whole business
is so
different.
It's all finished. It's all finished. Yeah. And that's why it's really nice to see you, because we met 13 years ago or 10 years ago the first time, and you're doing a great job and you're real. And the people nowadays they buy themselves a microphone and they think they're a radio station.
Or they buy themselves a microphone and think they're a singer.
You judged a lot of those.
Yeah, sure. And it's very hard for people to figure out what real quality is.
I don't even have a microphone.
I don't think you own one, no. You didn't come here with it.
No. It's just me that... in the beginning, I used to bring the music to the people. Now it's the music that brings me out.
That's fantastic. Are you going to be home for Christmas?
Definitely. That's a promise
Good
I
question.
Made. No, I'm going to be there. God willing, I will be there. And it's going to be something special to see the little... Mutti, mutti, little baby.
Oh, beautiful. Well, listen, Patrizio, it's always nice to see you, and thank you so much for seeing us this morning.
I hope that you guys will have time to go and see me on the 6th of November.
Well, we're going to give it a proper plug now. So that
Sun Arena. Yeah.
Sun Arena in Times Square in Pretoria. It's at 7:30. It's on the 6th of November. You need to get your tickets now because they're available from CompuTicket, or you can get the ShopRite and Checkers stores nationwide. But it's also the recording of the DVD. So... you can go there, you can dress
you could
up,
be famous.
You could look very pretty, and then, you know, the cameras might train on you, and then you feature in forever. You're in this piece of history.
One important thing I want to say.
Yes.
Don't be late. I'll see you there.
Yes, no, please. We can't handle people who are late, right?
No.
Very rude.
Have you picked that up about South Africans? Because, you know, we in timing sometimes just...
Well, I am the one who is allowed to be late.
Oh,
okay.
Because it's my show. It's my party. That's right.
I want to like it.
Let's all just get a little Italian here this morning. So you're going to teach us maybe a line or two from a famous Italian song that we can all sing.
Mm-hmm. Why from a song? You don't want to just a quote or something?
Okay, let's go to the quote.
Buongiorno, ragazzi. Buona giornata. Buongiorno, ragazzi.
Buongiorno,
ragazzi. Buona giornata.
Buona giornata.
That means have a nice day, guys.
Oh. And what about we have the best rugby team in the world?
Noi abbiamo la miglior squadra del mondo. That's difficult.
No, I'd rather go for the one before.
Yeah.
Buongiorno, ragazzi.
Buona giornata. Yeah. How about we just say buona giornata?
That's even better.
Buona giornata.
Kia bonga kakulu, payadanki, ciao. I'm off.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Patrizio Buone, everybody. Very, very nice. Go and get tickets to his show ASAP. All right, when we come back, we've got a new season of Decrypto to get stuck into with you. Stick around. All of that's coming up. CliffCentral.com. No doubt you've heard the expression cryptocurrency is the future of money, but have you ever stopped to consider what money actually is and how crypto is different? Well, Luno's Coralie Kleinschmidt talks about the differences and similarities between money as we know it and cryptocurrencies. Our second season of Decrypto, which is sponsored by Luno, delves into aspects of cryptocurrency with the input of industry leaders and professionals. And whether you're just getting started in the world of crypto, you have no idea what mining is, or you're already doing your own trading, Decrypto will demystify cryptocurrencies for you. Luno is a leading global cryptocurrency company with over 2 million customers in 40 countries and a team of over 250 people. They're headquartered in London. They operate across Africa, Southeast Asia, and Europe. Luno products and services make it safe and easy to buy, store, and learn about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum. Welcome to season number 2 of our famous Decrypto. And if you want to find out more, you can always go to cliffcentral.com. And you can even listen to season 1 to give yourself some context for all of this. But let's get stuck in. It's 13 minutes to 8 o'clock on cliffcentral.com, Monday morning. No doubt you've heard the expression, cryptocurrency is the future of money. But have you ever stopped to consider what money actually is and how crypto is different? We're at Luno headquarters in Cape Town, where Coralie Kleinschmidt, who's one of the company's scrum masters, talks about the differences and the similarities between money as we know it and cryptocurrencies.
So oftentimes when we're trying to describe the differences between the two, we want to take a look first at what they individually mean. Oftentimes people don't actually consider what money might be, even though we've had quite a few conversations about what Bitcoin actually is. So as a first part, money, or otherwise known as fiat currency, is what's otherwise known as a legal tender, which basically just means that it's backed by a central government, central party. In most cases, it's a central government. So within fiat currency being known as legal tender, it can take on different forms. So like you can have physical rands or naira, whatever your local currency is, but it can also be represented electronically, which is what a lot of people are familiar with via bank cards or credit cards. Within this, it means that the government and sometimes central banks actually control the supply of physical money, and you can pay your taxes with it, which is great. Cryptocurrency is quite different in that it is not at all a legal tender. It's not backed by any central government or bank in any way, and it is represented purely digitally. So you can't pay your taxes with it, for one, but it's not controlled by any kind of centralized party. What does keep it functioning is the underlying technology, being the blockchain, the white paper that Satoshi Nakamoto wrote as well, and the coding behind it. What the definition of fiat currency doesn't specify or mention is that entailed or implied in this, a country's economy and the value of its currency relies in many instances on centralized powers such as central banks, governments, very, very large corporates. And these powers ensure that the economy and the currency value remains healthy. As an example, central banks are responsible to oversee the amount of money that's in circulation at any one point. They can print money. They set the reserve requirement. They can influence interest rates. They can also participate in open markets. And what all of this basically means is that central banks and governments can influence the health of an economy and of a fiat currency. Bitcoin, on the other hand, is very different to this, and this is what makes it decentralized. So it doesn't rely on any bank, government in order to run, to function, and it also doesn't rely on those bodies to set its value. Its value is purely set by the people who use it. In that instance, it's kind of like cash. It's anonymous. So if you and I had a transaction with cash, governments wouldn't know about it. They wouldn't have any influence over it. So that's why oftentimes Bitcoin is compared to digital cash. And again, to mention this, its underlying technology is the cause of bringing new coins into existence. The underlying technology, the blockchain, also keeps a record of all transactions, and it ensures that those transactions are valid, which is something normally with local currency, a centralized party would be doing. To touch on the similarities, there isn't an intrinsic difference in Bitcoin and fiat currency. They can both be called money or currency. They're a form of currency. They're both mediums of exchange. They hold, store value, and they can both be transferred. They can both be used to purchase goods or services. Their values are governed by supply and demand, and the value can be affected by the quality of the system surrounding them as well. So those are all the similarities of cryptocurrency and fiat currency. But there are some main differences. So the first difference being that cryptocurrency is faster and cheaper to move around the world. So if you think of trying to send some money to your grandmother in another country, it becomes quite complicated when you have to all of a sudden consider exchange rates, and you technically have to exchange your money at potentially a much lower or higher price. And that process is quite tedious and quite long. With cryptocurrency, you can send cryptocurrency anywhere in the world to any person quite quickly via the blockchain, and it is therefore cheaper and faster. The second difference is that Bitcoin, because it is decentralized rather than being concentrated or relying on a single centralized power, it can be known as much more trustworthy. So now we're not relying anymore on governments or central banks to maintain the health of the currency. With Bitcoin, that is more governed by the people who use it and that underlying technology. There's no single point of failure within cryptocurrency because it is decentralized, whereas local currency does actually have that weakness. Whereas if one organization fails, then an entire economy can go down with it. And then one exciting difference is that it's a new type of investment, which has been proven so far to be uncorrelated with the traditional kinds of investment. So it can be seen as a store of wealth and a long-term investment if you are interested in portfolio diversification. With that in mind, it is still a brand new technology and a new form of currency. So we would suggest that if you are looking to invest in it, that you only invest what you can afford to lose as well.
Decrypto is everything you need to know about buying, trading, and spending cryptocurrency. Brought to you by Luno, only on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.